The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Wait a minute. Do you still think politics is boring? Well, not when you can say fun words like caucus. Yes, it's fun words like caucus and more. With the intellectual, intersexual, and intersectional, Nicole Sandler on NicoleSandler.com.
They want us to feel defeated. They tell us there's nothing we can do to stop a Republican wave. We proved them wrong. In one of the most conservative states in the country, voters, led by a quiet army of patriotic, determined women, said enough to radical Republicans invading our privacy, our bedrooms and bathrooms, and our liberties. They want us to be scared, but we won't back down. We will keep fighting. We will keep voting. And there's nothing more American than that.
Hell yeah. I don't usually play Lincoln Project stuff just because, the people behind it, I'm that. But all I can say is, way to go, Ohio. And that's about all I can play of that song. But A-O, way to go, Ohio. Yes, we start with good news today. And, you know, we don't do that often enough. But the people of Ohio said, you know what? You can try, but cut the crap, people. Yesterday, in the middle of August, after the Republican lawmakers in that state said no more of these, you know, August special elections because people are off doing vacations and such. They schedule an August special election in order to raise the threshold for a constitutional amendment in the state because they knew that Democrats were going to put forth such an amendment, hopefully in the fall, that would codify women's rights to have agency over their own bodies, basically to say, you can't tell us what to do about our bodies. And so they wanted to make it harder to amend the state's constitution. And Republicans pushed this measure in a months-long campaign, hoping it would help them defeat this, again, November ballot question that would enshrine abortion rights in the state's constitution. The Republicans argued that issue one would keep controversial policies out of the constitution. Mostly women and a lot of men who are allies saw through the ruse. They called it a power grab. And the outcome, 57-43% no, a victory. The Ohio Democratic Party chair called it a, quote, victory over out of touch, corrupt politicians who bet against majority rule, who bet against democracy. And I think, in glancing, I went past a comment from Steve Bannon, who's kind of freaking out. These abortion votes are going to kill us. Yeah, that's the point. So keep going. Ron DeSantis. Oh, this moron. Oh, he's on. Did you hear what he did now? So you can no longer learn Shakespeare if you are a high school student in the state of Florida. I'm not kidding. I couldn't make this up if I tried. Here, check this out. Now we know that he's imploding, right? His ridiculous presidential campaign is imploding. But check out this news story from this happens to be from a Tampa TV station, but doesn't matter. It holds true all over the state. Listen to this crap here.
Good evening, Stacey and Josh. These are the complete works of William Shakespeare. And this was my mother's book. She graduated from high school in 1943.
Wow.
But what could be taught to students then cannot be taught in Florida now because of a new state law.
It's a body of work that's been around since the late 1500s, considered by any measure to be classic literature. And to be clear, USF Associate Professor Emily Jones says it was written for adult audiences.
mostly Shakespeare is about big ideas, big themes, human ideas. I don't think that as a writer, he is a pornographic writer or an offensive writer or anything like that.
Hillsborough County Classroom Teacher Association President Rob Creed says teachers are now being told they cannot teach or even talk about some aspects of Shakespeare's work.
Come on.
Well, frankly, Jeff, I mean, teachers are frightened. I mean, they don't know what they can do or cannot do. So we're trying to actually walk on thin ice here while we're trying to meet the needs of the students. So it becomes very, very challenging for all of us in public education right now.
Creed, who once taught Shakespeare in the classroom, says students are being deprived.
It was some of the greatest lessons that I delivered is actually teaching Shakespeare in the classroom. Because not only are we talking about a great piece of literature that's older than dirt, but we can really look at literary analysis. We hold a mirror up to our society compared to, 100 years ago.
A spokesperson for the Hillsborough County Public School System says the works of Shakespeare have not been pulled from public libraries here, from their school libraries.
Oh.
It's just that teachers can only teach excerpts from these books. They can no longer mention or talk about or even answer any questions about anything of a sexual nature in the classroom. In other words, O Romeo, wherefore art thou?
Come on, man. This is just so obscene. The fact that they're saying the teachers can't teach an entire play. They can teach excerpts, but anytime there's a mention of sex, they need to shut it down, because sex, don't you know, is evil. They're teaching. This is Florida today. They want to go back to Victorian times. I guess with every high schooler, you get a chastity belt or something. They want to tell you that the human body is ugly, that sexuality, that sex is dirty, that it's bad. Parents, get the fuck out of Florida. What are you doing? I'm so glad my kid is done with school, because I would not keep her. I'd homeschool her. And believe me, you don't want me to be your teacher. I'm astounded. And I guess it's because, DeSantis's presidential aspirations are teetering on the edge. I told you, I've been telling you for the last few years, didn't I tell you that he's a big nothing? And now he's even worse. But that's not all he did today. Did you hear the latest? He fired another duly elected prosecutor. Somebody who was elected by the people of their district in Florida, a prosecutor who he said is her name is a black woman, Worrell. Her name is what's her first name? Something Worrell. Monique Worrell, effective immediately for neglect of duty, incompetence, and not pursuing harsh enough criminal prosecutions. He determined he didn't like the way he was doing her job, so he suspended this duly elected Democratic state prosecutor. And what she said is, if we're mourning anything, it's the loss of democracy. I'm your duly elected state attorney, and nothing done by a weak dictator can change that. But here we are. Yes, we are working on getting the fuck out of Florida, because that's the only thing that can be done. I know some people say stay and fight. I'm done fighting. I'm just over it. And if I'm going to fight, I'm going to fight for something and not again. Well, we're all fighting against the dictator, aren't we? You know what else we learned today? That Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, had issued a subpoena for Trump's Twitter, and Twitter basically said no. We're not giving it to you. This is a weird battle. And I'm not going to play any audio of the sweaty guy. But he did a rally, I guess, in New Hampshire yesterday. And he can't help himself. He can't shut his mouth. And so the judge, this would be the judge in D.C. out of the latest, the third indictment, scheduled a hearing about limiting Trump's comments on the evidence that will be given to Trump's attorneys out from discovery this Friday morning at 10 a.m. Trump said, we can't make it. My lawyers are too busy and I'm too busy. And the judge said, too bad. Friday morning, 10 a.m. Donald, you don't have to be here. And we don't need both of your lawyers. One will do, but they better show up. God, it's frustrating. And you know why I talk less and less about politics every day. I know I need to, because this is our lives we're talking about. But, you know, and I know you had the same thought I did when you woke up this morning and saw that the winning $1.5 billion lottery ticket was sold in Florida. Unfortunately, I did a little digging, and it was Neptune Beach, Florida. We weren't there. Nowhere near here. So I don't have $1.5 billion today that I didn't have yesterday. And so here we are. It is a Wednesday, a lot going on. Today happens to be the 100th day of the Writers Guild strike. And, you know, the SAG-AFTRA strike is ongoing. In fact, they weren't the only ones striking in Los Angeles yesterday. Thousands of L.A. municipal workers walked off the job for a one-day strike yesterday. The first major walkout by L.A. city employees in decades. They were airport custodians, lifeguards, traffic officers, engineers, and sanitation workers. They're accusing the city of unfair labor practices and refusing to bargain in good faith, saying job vacancies were forcing them to work longer hours for less pay. And one of the chants that was heard was, L.A. City, you're no good. Treat your workers like you should. Ouch. Mayor Karen Bass, who I like, and other officials denied the city was being unfair and said no services would shut down during the strike. And again, it was only one day. But they're making a point. But, you know, UPS narrowly avoided a strike. But I think people are fed up with being taken advantage of. That was the whole thing of not going back to work after the pandemic unless you were being fairly paid. And finally, people are saying, you know what? Either you pay me for the work I'm doing or fuck you. I don't need this shit. Right. And that's where we are in so many places. I wish we could do that about the weather. See what's going on in Maui? People are jumping in the ocean to get away from the fires. Oy, it just goes on and on. So you know why I turn more and more to music. So anyway, it's the 100th day of the Writers Guild strike. The SAG-AFTRA strike was just a couple of weeks behind them. And you may recall last month I had on my old friend Dave Jolliffe, and he brought along two of his friends, Sean Astin and Francis Fisher, who came on to tell us about, and it was right at the beginning of the strike, about what they were striking for, what you know, why. And I think they made a pretty good case for to explain that it's not, you know, people think that, oh, those Hollywood types, they, you know, they're all rich and rolling in the dough. Well, the fact of the matter is most members of SAG-AFTRA don't even make enough to hit the threshold to get health insurance, which I think is like $26,000 a year. In fact, today in the news, Billy Porter, you know, Billy Porter, Broadway star, TV star, he actually said he has to sell his house. And the comment was along the lines of, you know, you need that fuck you money in order to be able to survive long times like this without work. Well, I haven't gotten that yet. And so now he has to sell his home. And right at the beginning of the strike, you might recall, there was an unnamed Hollywood executive. I thought I pulled up the quote here, but I've got so many windows open. I can't find it. But he said something along the lines of, we want to make them hurt. We want to make them, you know, lose their homes. Well, be careful what you wish for, because it's happening. So back when I invited Dave Jolliffe to join us, you know, Dave Jolliffe, Francis Fisher, Sean Astin are all board members of AFTRA. I had also invited another old dear friend of mine who also is a SAG-AFTRA board member, Dan Navarro, who did not join us that day for a number of reasons, but I'm thrilled that he's joining us today. So, hey, Dan Navarro, welcome back to the show.
I love listening to you.
Oh, well, thank
just
you.
So much fun to hear you go, man.
Oh, my God.
It's great to see you.
I'm like low-key today. You should see me on a good day when I'm riled up.
You know, tis the season. It's strange times. There's a line from the movie Local Hero where two guys are talking and one goes, strange times, Archie. Strange times. It's the hot labor summer. And I mean, it's going on everywhere. Business has been allowed to feed the pockets of its top executives in an inordinate manner, to concern themselves with shareholders above everything and market share. And I get it. Business needs to stay in business. We have to stay in business.
Yeah.
What you were saying about the levels to earn, what you were saying about Billy Porter, it's all true. 85% of the 160,000 members of SAG-AFTRA don't make $26,900 a year. They don't qualify for health insurance. And so they're left to other devices for that. I'm one of the lucky ones, and I'm not a millionaire, not even close to being a millionaire. I'm a working stiff, but I've managed to qualify for my insurance every year through, you know, some maneuvering and dumb luck, thank God. But I am on the national board. I'm also on the negotiating committee with Sean, Francis, and David. I go back with David 23 years. We are actually the only two members of the committee that were on the commercials committee that led to that strike in 2000.
Oh, wow.
The only two guys still on the committee. You know, we've been colleagues for a long time. We have been members of opposing parties, respectfully opposing parties.
Within the union,
right. I don't know what anybody's politics are outside this stuff.
Right.
Inside the union, there are some people essentially hawks and doves when it comes to things. And I think that's a fair way of putting it without casting aspersions.
Mm-hmm.
And the two parties have come together to unite because the issues that we're facing right now are so crucial that we need to get united. And we have done. So all this is to say that we're really on the same page with regard to this strike, with regard to what's going on in the negotiating committee. And we're looking at a tough fight.
Uh-huh. Well, in fact, here's the picture that I used on today's show card is just from this weekend outside Warner Brothers, I guess. And there's Francis Fisher in that photo
Francis,
with you.
Sherry Belafonte in the black T-shirt.
Oh, wow.
I'm on the far right.
You are.
I don't actually. Yeah, that's me on the far right.
Yes, that's
in the white T-shirt. And Caitlin Delaney is close to the left. The other two people I don't actually know.
Okay.
But, you know, we're all out there in force to make an important point. And it is really true that the general public believes, you know, first of all, they think that the top actors who make millions are what this is about. The top actors who make millions are maxed out on their insurance contributions. They are usually prepaid their residuals.
Mm-hmm.
The issues in this current strike and this current work action is not about their needs. It's about the needs of working class and middle class actors who are losing their homes. And with no disrespect intended to Billy, people who make significantly less than he has, and who have significantly smaller, but no less important to them and to their families, smaller careers.
That's right. And Billy Porter, I mean, he's like a household name. And to hear that the strike has affected him to this level this early on, what could be a very long strike, you got to know that the people who were struggling before the strike started are in even worse situations.
And people are figuring out things to do. I saw an interesting quote. I mean, I posted something, and after the requisite number of people who were saying, good on you, this is great, all of a sudden the trolls hit, and it's like, get a real job.
Oh,
and
God.
Somebody from the WGA posted, it's like, oh, you guys have no clue. We all have side hustles because we can't make livings with the way it's going right now. And so people are figuring things out. I mean, you know, I have a side hustle. I tour the world and make records that, that sell in the hundreds, and I'm still touring a whole lot.
And of course, that's how I know you. So we've been friends for over 30 years. In fact, you know, we're packing to move, and I find things, and then I put them somewhere so that I won't lose them, and then I can't find them. But you know what I found the other day? A guitar pick in the shape of a heart. That was Dan and Claudia from your wedding.
From my wedding to my ex-wife, who's still one of I haven't told her that I'm seeing you today. She's going to want to send her love.
Hi, Claudia.
Our son is 27 now. We're great friends. We get on wonderfully, and thank God for that. We lost the marriage, but we won the divorce. And yeah, those guitar picks were really cool.
Really cool. Well, I still have one here somewhere.
Yep. You and I go back a long time from the days of I knew you from the Mark and Brian days, but from the KSCA and KACD days. And I'm still active, and I'm actually in the studio with the guy who produced the first five Lone and Navarro records. My last album, he and I are co-producing a new artist named Jessie Lynn Madera, who's fabulous. She's coming out in a few months. And I'm still at it. But in terms of SAG and AFTRA, that work, I've been singing in films for 30 years. I sang in Encanto. I sang in Puss in Boots. I mean, I sang, you know, that Puss in Boots, The Last Wish that was just out. In the old days, commercials, lately, a lot of voice acting, you know, and doing ADR and stuff, which is something David Jolliffe does. On Invincible and Pantheon and Ultra City Smiths and things like that. Family Guy and American Dad for over 20 years. So,
wow,
this is what brings me into the room. And it's allowed me because of the fact that, I mean, I make enough money to qualify for my insurance. I don't make enough money under SAG-AFTRA contracts to live on. Luckily, I have my side hustle as being an artist. And of course, my big old hit song that seems to be getting bigger all the time, just like I did during COVID with Ice Cream.
Right.
Getting bigger all the time. We Belong, the Pat Benatar song.
I just have to take a moment. So for those who don't immediately know the name Dan Navarro, you should, by the way. But back when we first met, you were part of a duo, a songwriting, singing partnership, Loewen and Navarro, with Eric, the late, great Eric Loewen, who died, had ALS, and had a horrible, it was so tragic. But you continued going. But back when Loewen and Navarro were together, you did have a big hit. Somebody posted on your Facebook page. I got to pull this up. It was, I guess, Pat Benatar is at Fenway Park. And they posted, wait, this. Hold on. Let me bring this up for a second. Starts raining and they're all just singing because it's such a great song.
We belong to the light, we belong to the thunder. It's been a legacy. It's been, and it's doing better and better and better, which is really lucky for me. And Eric's family. Eric's been gone 11 years.
Oh my, 11 years.
It's really gone fast. And you know, it continues to support me and his family, and you know, it's a great thing. But this is the thing that's allowed me to understand what the average worker at the SAG-AFTRA level is dealing with. I don't make enough to live on. I make enough to make my insurance. And actually, in truth, last year I had a good year and I made enough to live on. But that's not the point. The point is, these are real jobs. It's really hard work. People want to think it's cushy that you sit around eating bonbons. Try being in a hot, sweaty costume where you can't sit down because it's a period costume and it's too big. It's July, but the film is set in the winter.
Right.
You're on set 12 hours a day. It's an extremely hard job, or everyone would do it. And all we're looking for is fair treatment, fair pay, an increase that keeps us in pace with inflation, residuals that come close to what they were back in the broadcast television days. Broadcast TV is kind of on
it's sort of like terrestrial radio, and you're breaking up a little
bit. Pushed to streaming, the residual structure is no, which means what an actor could expect. Well, yeah, exactly. No, it's really the same principle as terrestrial radio. And the issue of streaming has affected actors the same way it's affected radio, and the same way it's affected artists and songwriters who make, I mean, Crosby, Dylan, Paul Simon all had to sell their catalogs to be able to, and yeah, they sold them for multi-grillions.
Oh yes, they did.
Granted. But I was asking the late Jeff Young, he played keyboards with Jackson Browne, he passed away earlier this year.
Yes.
He had played with Steely Dan. And I asked him, why does a band that was noted for never touring suddenly tour, even with Walter Becker passed away?
Right.
And Jeff said, CD royalties went away. Record royalties disappeared. There was no way for them to live without getting back on the road. And so that's what they do. We don't want people to feel sorry for us. Oh, poor performers. But we do want industry to treat us respectfully, fairly, and adequately within what it is that they're making. You know, the biggest issue in all of this, and I think it affects all of us, it's in some ways the most popular, the least understood, and not necessarily the most talked about, is artificial intelligence.
Oh, you
AI
know.
Is a major thing for the entire world. I actually testified before the House Judiciary in mid-May as a songwriter on the subject in front of Daryl Issa and you know, Ted Lieu and Adam Schiff and the representatives there on the AI subcommittee on AI in mid-May. I did a panel at South by Southwest in mid-March on the same subject. It's the thing that has, you know, and all we're asking for as a union, as a creative workforce, and I think this applies to you and what you do. If you're going to use AI to duplicate me, consent. Credit, right. Compensation.
Exactly. And one of the provisions in this contract that you guys are fighting says that the studio or the producers have the right to take your likeness and then use it in perpetuity and not compensate you for it.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. And even, to be honest, even multiple times in the same production would be unacceptable to me. Mm-hmm. If you're going to use it, you're going to save a lot of money in editing costs,
right?
But you still should pay. And it's no different than a residual.
That's right.
I mean, when I sang commercials, I would sing a commercial. And if they spun it out into 10 commercials, I got paid 10 session fees.
Right.
If they used it for longer than 13 weeks, I got paid again.
Sure.
Because they're continuing to generate value from it. Now, I know there's a general public that says, well, I don't get paid for months after I've, you know, delivered a package for a company or waited on a table. No, but if you invented something for a company, if you invented a new pair of pliers, then the patent's probably owned by that company and you get royalties.
Right.
You know, for the rest of the period that's relevant in the contract or perpetuity for creating something that has continued to be sold over and over and over again. That's what we're asking for.
As it should be. And now, you know,
it's remarkable.
One of the points that was made when I spoke with David and Francis and Sean is that with the new streaming culture, if you will, the new rules, you know, episodes and these new series are coming out and they do maybe 10 episodes in a season. Well, in the old broadcast days, they do 24, 26, 30 in a season. And so that it hurts you on every front. You're not getting paid as much up front because you get paid per episode. You're not getting paid on residuals because they turn over faster. Times have changed, but what hasn't changed is the way that the creators, the people who without whom this stuff couldn't be made, are compensated. But meanwhile, we're seeing the studio heads making obscene amounts of money. And, you know, they could cut their salaries by half and give that half to the people without whom they couldn't make this stuff. And still they'd be the wealthiest people on the block. So the selfishness is just astounding to me. I don't get it.
As a metric, one of the individuals who was talking about from the executive level was talking about our demands being unrealistic. Makes per day 2.5 times what 85% of our members don't make per year.
Yep.
Per year. Now, he's valuable to his company, but it's still an outsized value. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, who's worth that kind of money, especially when the reason for not paying us what we feel we're worth and what we've been able to demonstrate we're worth is because they say it's unrealistic.
Right.
We ain't got the money.
Right.
Wow. Okay. You know, I mean, if I don't get to not pay my power bill, or my mortgage, because I don't have it. It's too much money. I can't afford it. Because you know what happens then. Your power gets shut off. You get evicted. Things go away. So, you know, we've utilized what strength we have and what leverage we have to show that if you're not going to take this part seriously, we're going to withhold our services. And that's what we're doing. It is hard for a lot of people. And again, I'm one of the fortunate ones with my royalty stream. I can afford to be on strike for a while. I don't mean to imply insensitivity.
No, and it's not like you're kicking back and just
opposite.
Kicking back and just, you know, having fun. You're on the road. You've got a bunch of shows coming up, and this is a good time to tell people that they can go see you live, because I'm looking at the just in a few days you head on the road. You're going to Morgantown, West Virginia. Oh yep. My God.
Morgantown, West Virginia. I'm not playing banjo either, but Morgantown, West Virginia, Columbia, Maryland,
Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, PA,
a couple of shows Sewickley, in Pittsburgh,
Sewickley, PA, Steubenville, Ohio.
Festival.
We're celebrating. We're celebrating. Ohio. Wait, we're celebrating Ohio today. Because they came through. That's all I can play of the song, because I get copyright violated.
They came
violated.
Through. And Dean Martin was born in Steubenville. So that's cool, too. It's a nice long tour. I'm then going to Europe.
Wait, first, let me. We've fans. Got people all over the place. So you're going Michigan, Illinois, then your cruise. Oh, this sounds amazing. Adriatic and Mediterranean seas. You're leaving from Venice, Italy, and going where?
To Athens.
Athens.
Through Croatia, Turkey, and four Greek ports.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, it's and it is work. You know, I mean, I've worked really hard to make my life, my job fun, but there's other things going on. In fact, I'm gonna mention something out loud that has only just happened.
Okay.
I was asked 5 days ago to put together a radio program for KPFK.
Oh, nice.
On all matters strike.
Really?
And I'm terrified. I'm sitting here talking to the expert. I'm terrified how I'm going to do it. It's going to be an hour.
I'll help you if
show.
You want.
The name at the moment might be, well, thank you, because I'm going to need it. It's looking like right now it's going to be called In the Room with Dan Navarro.
Nice.
And my hope is to talk to Duncan Crabtree, Ireland first, Fran Drescher, some of the people on the committee, people from all over the country. I want to expand into the Musicians Union, into the Writers Guild. You know, the city workers thing is huge right now because it hasn't happened. You know, UPS, I hadn't heard the outcome of UPS.
Oh, they won.
When negotiations broke down with a full month left on the contract.
Yep.
Thank God.
Yeah. Chris in the chat room
is
a UPS worker, and they escaped without a strike. Thank God. Good.
Well, Chris, we're with you. We're with you and your brothers and sisters. And I'm glad that it worked out for you guys. And I want to learn more about it. But this is really the hot labor summer is not a hot minute. It's a reckoning. It's an existential moment for all of us throughout society to basically say, ya basta, ya estuvo, it's enough.
Yeah.
It's time to pay people what they're worth, especially as inflation skyrockets, executive salaries become obscenely, talk about unrealistic. Who is worth $100 million a year compared
Nobody.
To $3 million a year? Go ahead and earn your millions. $3 million a year.
Nobody.
What's wrong with
that? $3 million a year should be enough for anybody to live comfortably, take care of your kids, send them to college, go on vacation, live. Now you don't need
making $3 million.
Yes,
a year.
You don't need hundreds of millions of dollars at the expense of other people who are scraping to get by. I know I sound like
Jonathan
a socialist
Handel
here.
From Puck.
Yeah.
No, but it's Jonathan Handel from Puck. Printed a piece where he basically said, because of the SEC filings, Robert Iger's contract is out there for people to see. His bonus structure is 500% of base salary. And his base salary is like $30 million a year.
Okay, so keep that in mind. Here's what Bob Iger said right when the strike started.
We're in the midst of a writer's strike, and very likely it would seem to have a actor's strike. How is that going to impact things, and what are your expectations there?
Well, I think it's very disturbing to me. We've talked about disruptive forces on this business and all the challenges that we're facing and the recovery from COVID, which is ongoing. It's not completely back. This is the worst time in the world to add to that disruption. I understand any labor organization's desire to work on the behalf of its members to get, you know, the most compensation, to be compensated fairly based on the value that they deliver.
Yeah.
We managed as an industry to negotiate a very good deal with the Directors Guild that reflects the value that the directors contribute to this great business. We wanted to do the same thing with the writers, and we'd like to do the same thing with the actors.
Really?
There's a level of expectation that they have that is just not realistic. And they are adding to a set of challenges that this business is already facing that is, quite frankly, very disruptive.
So they're not being realistic?
No, they're not.
Why not?
I can't answer that question. I respect their right and their desire to get as much as they possibly can in compensation for their people. I completely respect that. I've been around long enough to understand that dynamic and to appreciate it. But you also have to be realistic about it with the business environment and what this business can deliver. It is and has been a great business for all of these people, and it will continue to be, even through disruptive times. But, you know, being realistic is imperative.
What do you
here.
Do in the interim, then? Does AI start to write a lot of scripts?
It will have a very, very damaging effect on the whole business. And unfortunately, there's huge collateral damage in the industry to people who are, you know, who are support services. I could go on and on. It will affect the economy of, you know, different regions, even, because of just the sheer size of the business.
And,
it's a shame. It is really a shame.
We're in the midst of a writer's.
And he can put half of his money back into the system. Say, you know what? This is exorbitant. I'm being paid too much. This is wrong. Let's give half of this back. And you'd probably be able to take most of the demands that are asked for in the contract with that.
Barry Diller suggested that the top actors and the executives cut their pay by 25% and could finance the whole thing. Some of what he says is absolutely true.
Uh-huh.
But in that context, how does he sleep at night, knowing that he's generating $100 million or whatever it might be in a given year with that bonus structure? And he's not the only one. There's 8 or 9 or 10 others that are doing the same thing. It's let him eat cake. And that's why I'm going to, you know, I hear him. He's not inaccurate. It is damaging. It is creating pressure. It is creating an extra burden. Guess what, dude? So are you.
Yes.
And that's where, like, what can we do about this? Especially some of these businesses are saying they're not profitable. To what extent are we expected to continue supporting a non-profitable platform and not getting paid because we're still doing the work?
Right.
You know, we're showing up, we're delivering, and we're doing the work. And the same work we used to do gets less, partly because of inflation, gets less because of the residual structure. And then in the weeds, lurking behind that rock, is this technology that they want to use to replace us.
Yeah.
To make us redundant. Did you hear about this new Zoom terms of service?
No.
Ooh, you should look that up.
Okay.
It's in the new terms of service that they, you know, own everything that you put up on their platform and the keywords. Now, all the words sound pretty egregious about to, you know, promulgate, proliferate, sell, rent, use, and to create learning data sets.
Oh, so AI. They can take this recording of this, because we're on Zoom right now, and turn it around and use our voices to create something new and entirely
just
different.
Just popped in the last couple of days,
oh,
and it's
God.
Like, whoa. I mean, it's pretty, yep, Zoom terms of service AI. I'm going to pull this. How Zoom's they change and sparks worries over AI. This just came up on CBS News 2 hours ago.
Wow. I'm going to have to look into that.
The terms now demand that they use AI to train on audio, face and facial movements, even private conversations without recourse, unconditionally and irrevocably.
Oh, my God.
Research this, because I guarantee you, my dear, this is a whole show.
Okay, without a doubt. And it's going to be me canceling my Zoom account. Because
there's something else out myself.
There are other ways. Look, we could do Skype easily. And not that Microsoft is any better, but they're not doing this as far as we know. And that's the thing, what we don't know. You know, Dan Navarro is with us. And so, you know, Andy Chanley, right? I got to get Andy on the show. So Andy Chanley worked with me at Channel 103.1 KACDK BCD. He did mornings. I was the program director and afternoons. And he's now on KCSN in the whatever they call it, the Sound of LA or something.
The Sound of LA, Sky Daniels station.
But it's not Sky. Sky's been gone for years.
See, I didn't know that.
Right. It's a station I should have been programming, but that's besides the point. Another day. But so he does mornings there, and I think he's a music director. Well, I've heard, and I need to call him and get him on to talk about this. Because apparently Andy Chanley spent the better, and he's got a great voice, spent the better part of a year recording for one of these AI voice services. And apparently this will provide for his family after he's gone, but at what cost?
At what cost?
So, you know, I haven't spoken to him in many years, and I don't want to excoriate him for it until I get a chance to hear him out. And I understand, I know he had a cancer scare, and maybe that's why he did it, and he's got kids and a wife, and but think about the ramifications of that. His voice will live on. His voice will probably be a disc jockey on a million radio stations or an announcer. And mm-hmm. But look how many people that puts out of work.
It's the reason why we're fighting this in the way that we're fighting it now. You and I remember the old radio business when we fought voice tracking. We didn't win that fight, but no. At least it was sort of a form of real time.
Right.
I remember saying to our mutual friend, Mike Marone, you know, it's so great that your station's on voice track. He goes, when he was on SiriusXM.
You want to bet?
and he goes, yeah, you want to bet? Well, because he was the one that could make it sound like a conversation. Mm-hmm. Back, and this was pre-merger. XM sounded like you were hearing from some guy. Sirius sounded like, and that was Dan right. Byrne yeah. with yeah. Jerusalem.
Yep.
And that was it. And so, you know, the world has changed. Anything, and we can't fight the technology. It would be ludicrous and naive.
Well, and I'll tell you something. Now, we haven't spoken in a while. I'm working on a new project that you're going to love. And the artist, the record you're producing right now, you need to send me because we're putting together Women Who Rock at womenwhorock.com. And Mimi Chen is doing it with me and a bunch of other radio people who you would remember. Dana Steele is involved and Aaron Riley is involved.
That's a side story. Dana Steele, I met 40. She was dating a friend of mine 40 years ago, a guy who played drums with Eddie Money.
Dana Steele, so anybody who doesn't know, was Miss Rock and Roll Houston. She did middays on the big rock and roll station in Houston forever. And then she ran for Congress. So that's Dana Steele.
And Charlie, her husband, is great. So I threw a Memorial Day barbecue at my home up in the mountains in Idlewild. I invited my friend Spike Edney, who has been the music director and keyboard player in Queen for 40 years. Long-standing friend. He and I go back to 1980. He came up and he said, can I invite a friend of mine? I went, sure. He invited Dana Steele, who I hadn't spoken to in any way since like 89. Wow. So I got to hang with her a little bit. In fact, we've been trading texts like mad lately. I got to tell her we've been talking.
Yes.
And Women Who Rock is going to be very, very cool because it's a new era.
It is.
And they all revere Pat Benatar for good reason.
The thing that I was going to say about this, though, and of course those songs are all in rotation. I have a test stream up now. It's linked from womenwhorock.com. No jocks yet. No, very little imaging, but I'm getting the music mixed together so you can listen. And it's everything. It's everything from Billie Holiday to Billie Eilish. I mean, and everything in between. It's jazz, it's rock, it's blues, it's acoustic, it's, you know, you name it. But it's hard. It's a challenge getting the mix together. But anyway, what I was going to say is when we do bring jocks on, all women, the way it's set up, it's unreasonable to think we can all do live shows because we're all in different places. It will be voice tracked, but the difference will be that each person will be able to have a lot of control over what they play. If I schedule something you don't want to play, you don't play it. And if you want to play, bring your female, you know, Kathy Faulkner, who was Miss Rock Seattle. She's one of our advisors. She was going to do it. Right now, she doesn't have time. But her idea was, I want to do a show that's all features all female artists from Seattle. I'm like, do it. Anita Gevinson, you probably remember Anita. She was on KSC. She did mornings. She did mornings in Philly forever as well. Used to be with Warren Zevon. I've got his record up there. She wants to do a Patti Smith show. Awesome. you know, Patti Smith's music needs to be celebrated. So this is Absolutely. What it's going to be, Women Who Rock. But they will all be voice tracked, unfortunately, because that's just the technology is there. But it will be using it in a different way than Clear Channel. Oh, sorry, iHeartMedia does.
iHeartMedia, right. Well, you know, there are two women from Seattle that I'm aware of that are Twitch stars. One of them pretty huge, Emily McVicker, fabulous, fabulous. And I discovered her during pandemic because I was streaming on Twitch.
Yes, you were.
Once a week for a long time. Yes, as you know, 250 shows on the internet stream from my living room. And the other is Taryn Hadfield, who also goes by Taryn Seattle. Taryn Seattle. AI is a boon to society if used properly, if used respectfully, and if used responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making up Drake and the Weeknd knockoffs is not using it responsibly,
no.
As far as I'm concerned. Again, consent, credit, compensation. Somebody said, well, why don't you make a new Loan and Navarro record? And my eyes lit up going, that would be great. I'm not sitting there, I'm not saying AI is evil.
Right. But how it's used.
Yeah, how it's used and how the people involved are compensated, credited, and in particular, it's about consent. If I opt out, look, there are people, didn't Coldplay opt out of Spotify?
A lot of people opted. Neil Young did.
Yeah, well, exactly. He's still out of there.
I know he is.
They'll list the songs on the record, but they're grayed out.
That's right, you can't play them.
And I think they pay horribly, but I'm on it because I need to be present. That's a decision I've made. I don't love it, but I get it. But to take the option away from me, to take the opt-out out of it, it's not on. To scan me, look, I've done video games as a voice guy, and they have you wear a headset with a light, and they're scanning your face. So as you're sitting there going, you know, there he is, and you're making faces, they can use that. To generate.
But you're being paid for that purpose.
I'm being paid for that purpose. And that's the basic point. But to take me once, I mean, look, even in voice tracking, would they voice track and take all of your syllables and create a whole new sentence?
Yeah.
A whole new thing? And that's like, no, you know, actually National Lampoon did that when they edited the Nixon tapes.
But that's totally different. That, you know,
that was also satire.
Right,
and
it exactly. Wasn't exactly.
All this is to say is it's a watershed moment for all of us. Anyone who thinks that the WGA strike or the SAG-AFTRA strike is about, you know, famous people who are cushy and fat cats and people who don't need the help and people who don't really work. My son is a budding young screenwriter. It's a hard, hard job.
Oh, yeah.
He was script coordinator on a series at the end of 2021. He's been out of college now almost 5 years. Go figure. He was an infant running around KECACD.
Yes, he was.
With your dog.
Yes, he was. With Sandy, yeah.
Yep. All this is to say, we're holding the line on purpose. We know why we're doing this. We know what we're doing it for. And at least at the present time, we're prepared to stick this one out because we know that if we don't do it properly, it's all over.
So someone like Joe, your son, who's now 27, you know, if I always had these thoughts, you know, Allison is now 24. How wild is that? If I hadn't moved, you know, we could have a thing. Never mind. But anyway.
Life is short.
Right? I know.
There's a long road out there. You never know.
Yes, there is. You don't know. But for a young person in this field, he's a screenwriter. He's a filmmaker. He went to film school at NYU, didn't he?
He did at NYU, yes.
So, I mean, what does he do now? Is he just like stuck having to do other jobs until the strikes end and he can try to get back to work?
We're 100 days in and he is not working right now because his series, he was the assistant to the showrunner on Based on a True Story for Peacock. And they had just wrapped and gone on the air when the strike started at the beginning of May. So he's sitting tight for now. He's on unemployment. No one is hiring in his field. His boss loved him. And his boss shot him a little personal help to say, this is so you can write during this break.
Oh, wow.
I've done the same. We're looking out for him. Frankly, he's been smart with his money. So, you know, he may end up getting a straight job. At the moment, that's not necessary. And actually, he's going to use this time of being down to write the next opus, to write something that could change his entire life. He's going to use it wisely. He's really, really, really lucky because he's got people looking out for him. But And the one thing I told him is, I said,
and he's got you and Claudia's parents. So,
well, exactly. And look, even if he ends up getting a straight job, the one thing I said is, here's what I don't want you to do. This is coming with love from Dad. Don't get scared. If you decide to do a different thing for a while, it's temporary. Stay focused. Keep your eye on the prize. If you ever get a little worried, just give me a call. But we talk about the strike, and we talk the strikes, and we talk about the industry, and we talk about the trends. We never talk about, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, or things are really tough, or should I go be a barista or whatever. He'll do whatever he has to do. And there's no bring down. There's no dishonor in choosing to do, you know, whatever, go work at a Macy's or go become a barista or go be a waiter if that's what he needs to keep it going.
Now, is he musical at all?
He is very musical, but he wanted to be a screenwriter. We were binge watching a lot of TV and movies when he was a little kid, and he got the bug the same way I did from listening to radio all night and all day, where I used to lay the albums out and look at, he played on this one. Well, that same guy played, you know, I don't know if you know this, in the last 10 years, I've become close friends with Leland Sklar and Danny Kortchmar and Russ Kunkel and these legends.
And who are now in the immediate family who came on the air with me about a year or two during the pandemic.
Well, and Steve Postella, the immediate family, is my best friend.
Oh,
and
wow.
He produced the album that I put out in 2018. I've been close with Steve for 35 years, but he's my bestie. And
We
no longer are neighbors, and both of us are bummed out because I moved to the Palm Springs area.
Yeah.
But bottom line, these guys are my friends. And Joe did the same thing going, hey, I noticed this showrunner did that other series. Uh-huh. Can we watch that next, Dad? So he got into the flow. He is musical. He plays guitar. He plays bass. And apparently, because he was at NYU, he took vocal lessons with my friend, my dear friend, Janice Pendarvis, who sang with Sting and Steely Dan. And she said, he's got a killer voice. But he's focused on screenwriting.
Wow.
That's what he wants.
Well, that's awesome because he knows what he wants. He is going for it. It just sucks that the industry is this way. Hopefully it'll get its shit together. I read that there were talks and then the talks broke off. Update? Is anything happening?
I'm not sure what you're referring to. They went in with the WGA a week ago this Friday to talk about talking. They didn't start negotiations, but they talked about talking. I've heard no scuttlebutt on what came out of that. They have not talked to SAG-AFTRA since negotiations ended. They were scheduled to end June 30th. We granted a 12-day extension in order to try to get to a deal. And we did not meet with the other side for 10 of those 12 days.
Oh, my.
Where they would say in the morning, yeah, we're not going to meet with you today. And we met. We duly met for 10 days. We took July 1st off and July 4th off. Other than that, we met every day. And they didn't with us. And they finally called in federal mediators. They called for federal mediators with 2 days left on the contract. And we're sitting there going, this is a rock and a hard place.
Mm-hmm.
We decided, yeah, we'll allow the federal mediators in, but we're not granting another extension because we told you we wouldn't grant another extension. So the contract ended, and that's where that is. I'm hoping the WGA made progress last week. I don't happen to know if they did. And we are, in the meantime, fielding requests for what are called interim agreements.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of scuttlebutt about that. Ooh.
Sorry. Yes. I'm trying to bring up a picture.
In an interim agreement, a non-AMPTP producer, if they follow certain rules and sign on to the interim agreement, agree to what we put before industry that industry has rejected. They agree to our terms and we allow them to produce.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are some strictures around it, some parameters. I'm of the belief that we should even offer it to AMPTP producers, just simply saying, if you're going to break solidarity, come on over. But in the meantime, I know that media, New York Times just did this, refers to them as waivers. And although they're waivers from this, they're not waivers. They agree to our last offer in the interim.
Mm-hmm.
They also then agree that they will adhere to whatever the final contract is. But it simply means that they're agreeing to premises that the AMPTP has rejected.
Wow.
As far as I'm concerned, that just shows a lack of solidarity, and it's good for us.
Well, we wonder, you know, what can we do? I saw somebody earlier in the chat room wrote, you know, I can't believe people are still going to movies and still paying streaming services and stuff. And when David and Francis and Sean were on, they said they weren't asking people not to. They weren't. I had mentioned that I have a listener who said, who emailed me and started a new monthly donation. And she said, I'm not, you're getting my Netflix money now. I'm not paying them, so I'm giving it to you, which really helps me because I work based on donations. You know, radio, the radio industry died years ago, and I'm, you know, I'm grasping at things from all different angles. I paint pet portraits. I do this. I live on donations. I run an odd commercial here and there, but yeah. So there's, if you want to know what's happening with the latest on the strike, there is a website set up for both members and consumers, sagafterstrike.shop, where you can, I guess you can buy strike swag. There's
you
also
can buy swag, and sagafterstrike.com
and .com
will give you the latest information that can be revealed on what's going on and what we're aiming at. It is true that we are not staging a boycott. We are not asking people to quit streaming services or to quit going to movies. I don't want the studios to go broke. I want them to run out of content,
right,
and realize they have to make a deal with us. So we are go to movies. Can keep your streaming subscriptions up.
And donate to my show.
And donate. Well, donate to the SAG-AFTRA Foundation because there is a fund that's being created. I think it's an entertainment emergency fund that's being created to help people who are going to lose their health insurance. People are losing their homes, and that's tough. And I don't mean to minimize that. But the most immediate threat are people who would have gotten their insurance, who aren't going to make enough money to make their insurance. And I've already qualified myself personally for the period that starts October 1st through September 30th of 2024, at which point I'm going to be so danged old that I'm over it.
We're at that age, Dan. You're a little older than me, but not a whole lot.
I'm a lot older than you. Well, I'm a lot older than
you. You're not a lot older.
Well, I don't mind revealing this. Hi, everybody out there in the cold land. In 4 weeks, I'm going to be 71.
Wow. Well, my husband's age, so you're not that.
Yeah, so I'm almost 71 years old. I've been working for a long time. And under the law, I have to start drawing my pensions by the time I'm 72.
Oh, right.
Which will mean that then only certain of my earnings under the SAG-AFTRA will count. Others, residuals, will not. And I will probably fall off the plan. But then I'd go on Medicare and I'd go through I exchange for a supplemental and I'm going to be fine. But there are people, younger people in their 30s and 40s with families who need this.
Absolutely.
And them not working means that they've got problems coming. So I've contributed. I want people out there to contribute to the SAG-AFTRA Foundation's emergency fund. SAG-AFTRA.com. I'm sorry, SAG-AFTRAFoundation.com. SAG-AFTRA-strike.com. SAG-AFTRA-foundation.org, I believe.
Yes. Okay. I'll find it all out and post it all on the blog because this is really important. Dan Navarro, by the way, the website is dannavarro.com. There you can find all, you know, Dan's music and the tour dates and maybe go on the cruise if you're so lucky. There's a lot of stuff there and go see one of Dan's shows. It's been many years since I've seen you perform. Many years,
but I'm looking forward to, I believe you're going to be moving closer, which I'm really looking forward to.
We're planning on Arizona. And so,
well,
yes.
That's a drive away from where I live.
Exactly.
That's only a short drive away. And it's important. But those of you who do choose to go to my website for my music, those who don't know my music, you'll hear hour after hour of the most depressing songs you've ever heard. Let's all hang.
But a lot more. In fact, I did pull, you mentioned Joseph running around the studio. You played live on the radio with me so many times, I can't even
many
count.
Times.
But I pulled a tape from a show on, it was December 10th, 1999. You and Eric were there. We had a toy drive going on because it was the Christmas season and Joseph was running around wanting all the toys. He thought they were for him and you had to tell them no, they weren't.
He was 3 years old then.
Yeah. And so I pulled.
Still married to Claudia.
You were still married to Claudia. And you guys did, Pat Benatar's version of We Belong is nice. I prefer the Loan and Navarro version. And so I pulled your live rendition done live on the radio in Los Angeles to go out with today. So We'll leave it. We'll leave everyone with that. Dan Navarro, I miss you. I can't wait to see you in person.
I miss you too, but I will be seeing you more because again, it's just desert to desert, four Absolutely. Hours, real easy.
Easy, and, easy peasy.
I'll come hang with you.
Oh, I can't wait. All right, Dan Navarro, everybody. Yay. All right. And this,
thanks so much for having
again.
Me, Nicole.
Oh, thank you for coming.
We'll be talking soon because I've got to pick your brain because I'm going to figure out how to go on.
I meant it. No, I'll help you. Whatever you need. Yes, please. Call. You got my number. Call me. Okay. And we'll go out with Loan and Navarro, recorded live on the air in Los Angeles, 1999. And you know the song. You can sing along if you want.
Times I've tried to tell you, 20 times I've cried alone. Always I'm surprised how well you cut my feelings to the bone. I don't want to leave you really, I just want to break the ice. Do I look silly to you when I yield to your advice? When you say we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder. We belong to the sound of the words we both fallen under. Whatever we deny or embrace, for worse or for better, we belong, we belong, we belong together.
Si acaso no lo sabes, te aseguro que es verdad. El cariño que es sincero no se apaga con crueldad. Olvidas lo que fuimos y desprecias lo más fiel, pero juntitos pretendimos que la luna era de miel. Junto a ti, solo es mi anhelo. Junto a ti como el rayo de luz que ha brotado del cielo. No importa el porvenir, si sufrir es mi triste destino. Junto a ti hasta el fin del camino. And try to sleep now. Close your eyes and try to dream. Clear your mind and do your best to try and wash the palate clean. 'Cause we can't begin to know how much we really care. But I hear your voice inside me, and I see your face everywhere now. I say we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder. Sound of the words we both fallen under. Whatever we deny or embrace, for worse or for better, we belong, we belong together. We belong, we belong together.
That is Loan and Navarro. We belong. Dan, we're officially in overtime, and you're still there. So thank you for still being there. I just remembered, I forgot to, news broke today, and you've been in the studio all day, and you may not have heard. Robbie Robertson died.
I heard. Jim Scott is who I'm working
with.
Oh,
here. Right.
Jim was the associate producer on the Robbie Robertson album with Broken Arrow and Down by the Crazy River.
Somewhere Down the Crazy River. I just wrote in the chat room that when the show ends, people need to, I can't play it because I'll get copyright violated, because especially because it's Universal, but you need to go to YouTube or wherever you get your music, yep, and listen to Somewhere Down the Crazy River. It's what I did the minute I heard that he had died.
My friend Sam.
Somewhere down the crazy,
I mean, that was Sam Yannis from the Bodines.
No.
Jim Scott is co-producing Jesse Lynn Madero with me. He produced my album that came out last year that I think I've sent you.
You didn't send it. You need to send it.
Well, then I'll get you one. Okay. He was the one who broke the news to me about an hour and a half ago.
Wow.
And it's heartbreaking.
That's absolutely what I was saying. We're at that age and we just have to brace ourselves because, and in your case, it's people you've worked with. In my case, it's many people I've interviewed and met over the years. And we're getting older and we're going to lose these people. But I'll tell you the wonderful thing about, like, your body of work lives on. Robbie Roberts and his music stays.
Well, and the thing I'm getting from all of it as I age is I'm going to have fun now. I'm going to tell people I love them now, like I love you. And,
I love you.
You know, there's no reason to have a filter anymore.
No.
You know, even if it's just get off my lawn. But the most important thing is I'm going to enjoy every day. I've had a blast. I have a vivid memory of all the great things we have done. And I'm looking forward to the great things we will do together in the future. I adore you. And I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for having me on the show. Thank you for keeping the show going. We need you. And I will sign off now because I've got to get back in there. And they probably erase all of my talk.
Gotcha. I can't wait to hear it. Dan Navarro. Thank you. Love you.
Dearly.
Talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody. Take
Bye.
Care.
And with that, I'm out of here, too. Thank you, Dan. And you guys, tomorrow is Thursday. Howie Klein will be here. Friday, Lisa Graves will be here to give us her legal, you know, she's a former deputy assistant attorney general. So we'll get her legal take on all of the Trump issues, as it were. All right. With that, we're in overtime. I got to go because I got to turn this around and get it up on the Progressive Voices. Thanks for listening, everybody. Until tomorrow, keep the faith, baby.